see you.
Okay, just a second.
And where are you calling in from?
Hi, Melissa DeSella from Jewish Family and Career Services of Atlanta.
Atlanta. So I'm so glad to see you. It's funny because we're now being recorded, but I'm going to introduce us. For you who don't know me, potentially, Melissa, I'm Lisa Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at the network. And this is one of the 24 affinity groups that we run. And this is for, of course, residential service providers. And Jen Phillips from Keshet in Chicago is the chair of the group. And this group has notoriously been a smaller group because there aren't as many residential service providers in the network, that's for sure, but there are more than two. And we realized that we need to do something to get the word out to agencies that have, you know, residential services. So that's our goal for our next meeting, which will take place in November. But Atlanta was on our list from the very beginning, and we have around six other agencies that are on the list. So I'm glad you're here. All of that's to say is that we're going to build it. We're going to grow it. It's going to come. If you build it, it will come. And we're glad you're here. And that's it. Yeah. And we're going to build it.
So Jen Phillips, as she introduced me, from Chicago, I'm the CEO of Keshet. So I don't know, we're a non-for-profit that serves a wide range of participants from the age of three and now to forever, really our mission on inclusion and community. So we do a lot of rec and camp programs, and we have a therapeutic day school and an adult day program, and now we have residential homes. So we serve our families for a lifetime, as we say.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've popped in to this group a few times, more early on in the pandemic than recently. So I definitely know your names and faces from a year ago, I think it was.
How are you going there? What do you have in Atlanta?
So JFNCS has five core areas of services. I oversee two of them, the Ben Missel Dental Clinic and our division for adults with intellectual and developmental disability services. We have a small residential program with seven group homes. We also do community living supports, and we have a fledgling host home service as well, as in one. And we also offer supported employment through state and federal programs.
Wow.
And a day program. Almost forgot. Our day program is currently operating at 50%, but it is alive and well.
Alive and well is good, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. So, you know, for us, I know we continue to talk about the meaningful days and meaningful lives of our adults. And as you probably have experienced too, that during the pandemic, you know, there was a lot that kind of had to stop with going out in the community, and obviously jobs were lost. And so today we were going to spend some time kind of talking a little bit about that. We know we don't have a big group here. And so that was one of the things we were talking about, Lisa and I, that we really need to advertise this a little bit more. It was a new affinity group that started. And so, and not many people signed up. They just may not know, right. But we want to build this group as much as we can. I had put a little PowerPoint together. I don't think I need to use a PowerPoint for us to talk today, but just really talking about what does it mean to have a meaningful day? What is that kind of bigger picture of, you know, choice, but yet, you know, during the pandemic, there has been a little bit less choice because our residents aren't allowed out of the houses as they were freely before, and day programs are closed and all their jobs are not there. And so, you know, how we have kind of structured some of our adults and them having, as they are getting back into the community, how they are having the choice of doing what they want to do. So I can talk a little bit about our programs, and I'd love to hear about where you guys are at and, you know, have some questions, and then you can be on your way to go, I'm sure, do 1,000 things that you have to do.
Well, so this might be a part of my, I joined this group way back because I wanted to like resolve problems, and I wanted to hear what everyone was doing to resolve problems. And I have joined a couple of meetings where I stayed for maybe the introduction, and if it didn't apply, then I felt comfortable hopping off. So this is kind of, it feels a little focused right now on just the two of us. And I have to say though, that we don't really have, because we're such a small program, we really haven't had a whole lot of challenges. We have, each house has a residential manager and their core team. So we have a lot of freedom and flexibility to really address the specific needs of our individuals because we're small.
Yeah.
And we also have a pretty engaged family community. So every house has sort of its family champion. Sometimes it's all of the individuals have a family champion for that one house.
Yeah.
But every house has got at least one family champion. And they have been.
How many residents are in your house? Each house? Well,
four at each, so 28 clients. Yeah, mm-hmm. So very small. Very small.
That's nice. That's nice.
And our day program is on site, facility based, but it's staggered. So instead of, you know, 55 clients every day, we're around 25, 30 every day. We're seeing our residential clients though, who are in the day program Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So they are able to have that experience in the facility.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So you've got it. We don't need to sit through here and talk. Okay. No, that's good. And no, listen, you don't want to waste anyone's time either. So I appreciate that actually.
But here's what I want to ask. But how are you making your residents' life, those four residents, their lives meaningful? Like, what are you doing? What kind of programs are you doing?
So our families have really guided us in what they were comfortable with in terms of community outings, but we also already had built into our residential program a variety of activities, many of which we've resumed in, well, the safest way possible. Let me back up a little. We're 100% vaccinated among staff and clients, and vaccination is a requirement for all of our programs. So I'll start there. Two, we have relationships already in our service communities with the various entertainment sectors. And we had already built into a lot of our community inclusion activities, volunteerism. Many of those opportunities have resumed. Mind you, it's more pod-based now than before, but we have resumed. For instance, we have three pods. I'm sorry, pods are groups of individuals who either have day program experiences or residential experiences together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a pod could be one of our group homes, or it could be a group of 4 to 6 individuals in the day program who go to an event together, like at the Community Assistance Center, which is a multi-service human services organization to do a variety of different volunteering activities. We also
have that is nice. You are
that is great. Yeah, we're doing.
You are giving your residents opportunities.
We have everyone has their everyone's got their specifics. So at one home, we have three individuals who are part of Habima Theater. And some of those theater activities have resumed, so they are returning to those social activities. Friendship Circle is another activity that is returning. It's virtual and live. So depending on the mix of people and how well we can maintain our safety measures, we are returning to the live activities.
Yeah. And we've done a lot of, collaboration with we do Meals on Wheels. We're working for a food pantry. All those things have started back too, which is really, really nice. And some of the other collaboration we've actually had are with other agencies like JCFS in Chicago. We've been doing some virtual stuff with them, but also doing some outside meeting stuff. They attend a lot of our day programming. but also new stuff. We hired like this new art therapist who's doing some really great stuff, a movement person. We came up with a new job, which was called Coins for Keshet, where people are dropping off their coins. It's been huge success. I've done some TV spots on it.
How much have you made?
They're loose change. Yeah. And our adults are separating the change, rolling them, and then bringing it to the bank. Uh-huh. So like all of these great new things that give opportunity for them to make choices in, you know, other activities that they never thought before, you know.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. How much money have you gotten from the coins for Keshet?
We've raised almost $17,000.
It's crazy how much you can raise with coins. Right. And how much work it takes. I know. Yeah. That's wild.
Great. So it's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And just in general, our three homes that we have become so much more connected. Before they were very separate. And so, you know, on a Saturday, a Sunday, if, you know, some are going to the Chicago Botanical Garden and three are going to a movie and four are going for a walk, they get to choose now to go with the other home. So that's been a huge thing for us. Yeah.
Our families have been really central to our ability to bring our homes together for activities. They've been very generous as well in purchasing baseball tickets where we get to sit together and a bit distance from others. Minor league. and, you know, outdoor theater tickets, outdoor movies, drive-in movies. So a lot of activities have been family funded and organized even, and we show up, which has been awesome. We're really excited about the houses getting together as well.
Yeah. And we are similar to you. We have very, very involved families. We have, you know, we're younger. We've only had this program for 6 years, our residents. So, you know, they're all in their late 20s and 30s, and the families are very engaged and involved. So, which is, we're a family, you know, our organization was founded by families. And so they are still, some of those families who were there from the beginning are still here. So.
Gotcha.
Well, honestly, I know just living here in the Northeast, there are so few really residential, you know, houses for people who want their children to, who are in their 20s and 30s, you know, to have great experiences. I mean, there really are so few, and the ones that are private are exorbitant, and so many people can't afford it. And then those that can't afford it, there's nowhere for anyone to go. I mean, it's just so, you know, it's a blessing that you all have these kinds of programs for, you know, families.
It's nice. It's nice.
Yeah. I mean, really it is. And I think about it all the time because it's hard for families when their children have nowhere to go, have no meaningful experiences, no meaningful activities, and there's nothing the families can do. It's really
agree. Thank you for sharing.
Well, listen, I'm so glad, Melissa, you came. And Jen, we're going to make sure we do something. We're going to build the group.
Well, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to draft a letter and then we'll do that. And hopefully, Melissa, you'll join us again as we regroup a bunch of people.
Yeah. Well, I remember again, you know, the problem focus. Whenever you guys highlighted that you're going to tackle a specific problem, that's what caught my attention usually. And, you know, I was on a call earlier today with Sangha Unity. They are a group that is comprised of self-advocates, families, providers in the IDD sector. And we spent most of the conversation talking about how you further encourage vaccination among staff, families and the community. And it was a pretty charged, maybe that's
I was gonna
word.
Say pretty yeah people probably had a lot of opinions about that,
but it was a very good one because I think we needed to hear each other's perspectives. And you know, it was nice to be able to share the journey that JF and CS went through to mandate vaccination among staff and then, you know, make it a part of our program requirement. It wasn't easy. But
there are very few NJHSA member agencies that have gone full throttle on the, you know, mandated vaccine. You, Gulf Coast, Denver are three that I know of. And LA.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Awesome.
I think LA. What about you? Is Keshet?
We have not mandated vaccines. Right now, I have decided to not have new people hired who are not vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And to be very honest, we have maybe three or four now that are not. So 100% of my residential staff are, a couple of my day program staff are not. And I actually have a couple of people in my business office who are not.
Oy. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's so tough.
Our governor did make a mandate, but the mandate is not really a mandate because it means you can get tested weekly or whatever. So right now we're kind of holding, we're seeing what's happening. I may make a decision. We will see.
Yeah.
We don't want to lose those couple staff we have.
If you want to talk with, you know, anyone who has made that decision, I mean, I know two CEOs would definitely be willing.
Okay.
Your CEO would be, yeah, Melissa, absolutely, as well as Sandra Brom from Gulf Coast. And okay, they had to go through a whole thing with the board and et cetera, but you did too. So I know that they would be willing to share their experience. If you want me to—
I would love an introduction. Yeah.
Right now, today? I mean—
Yeah.
Okay, great. I will.
Yes, that would be great. I'd love to be prepared.
Jen, okay, just so you know, of our almost 90 IDDS staff members, we only lost two.
Wow.
Okay. That's great.
And agency-wide, I think that number increased only by another two.
That's great.
More than 230 team members.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Good to know.
That's some good statistics. Because I know that's not the way it is with the other agencies. 100% for sure not. Wow.
Thank you. That introduction will be good.
Okay, I will. Well, it was great to see you both.
Great to see you both.
Okay. When is our next one? It's sometime in November. Okay. Yeah. We don't have it in front of us, but I'll let you, I'll write you, Melissa, and let you know. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.